Judiciary, June 6th.
You got an amendment to that effect?
Afternoon, House Judiciary Committee, Subcommittee 1, come to order, please. We've got four bills on our agenda for public hearing. First off, we've got Senate Bill 375. We'll then move into work session on the next three bills and hearing also. We do have session at 3, but we're very pleased to have as our special guest this afternoon, Senator Meeker, on 375. Welcome, Senator.
Chairman, thank you. My name is Tony Meeker, District 15. The problem of missing and abused children in this country and this state should be at the top of our list as concerns for Oregonians and as concerns as individuals. It's estimated that 1.5 million children are missing from their homes every year, and many of them are sexually abused or even murder victims. Many are simply never seen again. Oregon's child abuse statistics, particularly those for sexual abuse, skyrocketed last year, and for the fourth time in this decade has exceeded all previous figures. Senate Judiciary Committee received testimony from the U.S. Customs Inspector and U.S. Postal Inspector that Oregon does indeed need to change its law regarding child pornography. Senate Bill 375 would address that issue. Now, I have we'll be submitting to you several copies of my testimony, but it's not here just yet. Soon will be. And what I'd like to do is to go right to the heart of the bill, because I know that you're under a lot of pressure and a lot of time. My testimony will give you statistics of what's been going on in Oregon. If you'd like to see it, we can provide you the testimony that was provided to the Senate Judiciary Committee as to what's going on in Oregon law. It is virtually impossible to prosecute under the existing law because it requires that any child or any pornographic material must meet the obscenity statute. The key for you is the fact that the United States Supreme Court in 1982 ruled that child pornography is not protected under free speech guarantees of the Constitution as other items. It is the Supreme Court in the Ferber case ruled that states can adopt a much tougher standard in dealing with child pornography. Senate Bill 375 does that. It is true that child pornography has emerged as a key feature in society's heightened concern about sexual molestation. Commercially produced child pornography, because of efforts nationwide, is on the decline. But it's not in Oregon. So Oregon needs to catch up with other states. By the time that the 82 decision had been made, 20 states had already adopted the new standard. And since that time, California, Ohio, Alaska, Idaho, Utah, and Washington have strengthened their laws to fall under the 82 Ferber decision. Other things have happened nationwide to help us in this problem. President Reagan's signing of the Child Protection Act, which deals with the distribution of materials across state lines, brought federal law in line with the Ferber decision. Senate Bill 375 recognizes that any material that is transported in violation of federal law can be prosecuted under the law that's proposed in Senate Bill 375. Now, there are many people who would have preferred a little bit different version than that that passed the Senate. And different only in one area, and that is in the area of the age of application. The Ferber decision has upheld, and most of the states that have adopted child pornography laws have the law applying to age 18 and younger. We have submitted amendments to your staff that would make that change. The bill, as it's currently written, is 16 or under. There's one other amendment that we have proposed, which was inadvertently changed by the Senate Judiciary Committee when the bill was amended without intent, and that was allowing the application of RICO to the child pornography law. So the amendments that we have proposed do those two things. Now, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I could go into some detail about the intent of this act. But I think the most important thing for us to recognize is that the United States Supreme Court has allowed a definition to apply to child pornography unlike that of other pornographic materials. Oregon cannot now take advantage of that. And because of it, it is virtually impossible to prosecute people who are even in the production of child pornography. And we need to change that law, and Senate Bill 375 to do that. I'll respond to questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Senator. We do have your amendments and your testimony before members, and we have a Hannah Gross version with your amendments also before the members. And we do have, members should be aware, a letter from Senator Fry relating to the issue of the need to deal with the Second Amendment to which Senator Meeker had spoken. Are there any questions? If not, excuse me, Representative Peterson.
Thank you. Senator Meeker, I heard you say the amendments do two things, but either I lost my train of thought, it puts the RICO prosecution back in, and what was the other thing you amended?
It changes the age of application from 16 to 18. Current law has it at 16 in Oregon. Virtually most of the states that have adopted what the Ferber decision would allow, and most of the studies that have been done on the subject indicate that the preference is age 18, which really means 17 and over. Now, there are many people who disagree with that, so it is a preference of myself and supporters, other supporters, that it be 18, but that's a committee decision.
Representative Kavansky.
Yes, Senator, I think also that in looking at this legislation, we may want to keep in mind the House Bill 2306, which is in the Senate Judiciary Committee, which extends the statute of limitations on child abuse. It tolls the statute to everyone is 18, as I recall, and then that's when the statute really begins to run, and so it's plus 3 years. So this type of legislation is also, I think, enhanced by 2306, which is in Senate Judiciary, and I don't know if it's had a chance, if it's been scheduled or not, but the two really work together.
Well, one of the major reasons that we have suggested the age of 18 is because under ORS 163315, a person is considered incapable of consenting to a sexual act without being 18. So the application of the two seems consistent.
Are there further questions? If not, thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you.
We will expect very shortly next week schedule this for a work session also. We have Rex Armstrong signed up, ACLU.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rex Armstrong, President of the American Civil Liberties Union of Oregon. As the person who drafted the version which you have before you, I guess I the only question I would have is, I've not seen the proposed amendments. If they relate to the age issue and application of RICO for these criminal violations as specified, I don't think we'd have any. I don't think we'd have any concern about it. And if there were any questions from the committee concerning the bill and the manner in which this is addressed, I'd be happy to answer them. But from what I now see in these proposed amendments, we certainly have no position concerning them.
Okay. Yes, Senator Meeker.
That it was with and through efforts of the ACLU that we were able to work out the compromise that you see before.
Appreciate both your efforts.
Thank you.
Let's see if there are any questions for Mr. Armstrong. And Rex, I know you just had these laid upon you. If, and I understand you understand the intent of the changes proposed and would not have any disagreement with them, but if upon your review you find some technical error or that there's a failure of the amendments to actually speak to the issues that have been presented to us, please feel free to advise us. Representative Phillips.
Just for clarification, you have no objections to raising the age to 18?
No. No position one way or the other.
But no objection.
No objection. We, in developing the approach that we have in cooperation with people from Senator Meeker's office and the district attorney's office in Multnomah County, we tried to come up with a way that was more likely to be constitutional than the existing law or the approach that was initially proposed, and I think we've done that, and yet still reach the problems which the state is concerned with in terms of using children in the manner that this legislation is designed to prohibit.
Okay, any further questions for Mr. Armstrong? If not, thanks very much, Rex.
Appreciate it.
Okay, that's it for those who have asked to sign up and testify on Senate Bill 375. Are there any individuals who didn't sign up who wish to testify at this time? Okay, if not, I want to, we don't have anyone who signed up for public testimony on 414. We do, I understand, have at least one individual who wishes to testify on one of the other bills up this afternoon. And I'd like to go ahead and take that public testimony first. Mr. Neal, do you wish to testify on 3022?
Chairperson Springer, members of the committee, my name is Fred Neal. I'm Senior Staff Associate with the League of Oregon Cities. I appreciate the opportunity to address you this afternoon on House Bill 3022, which would require the governor to investigate and determine whether a governmental entity is quote unquote controlled by a religious institution, and to so declare if he or she determines that that is the case. Moreover, the bill in Section 7 creates a presumption of control if more than 75% of the real property or the residential housing units located within the boundary of that political subdivision are owned or controlled by a religious institution. Section 7 says that if the governor has so declared political subdivision is so controlled, then that political subdivision shall not exercise any governmental power under the laws of this state. This to us is tantamount to a repeal of a municipal charter. We would strongly object to the legislature presuming that the governor, the chief executive officer of the state, could independently make some judgment as to the nature of a political subdivision and simply then suspend entirely all operation of that city. And would hope that, urge you not to adopt this measure, or to recommend its passage to the House. And we must go on record this afternoon in opposition to the provisions of this bill, just as we have taken a formal position in opposition to some other legislative proposals this session to allow the legislature to repeal individual city charters. Thank you. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Mr. Neal, are you aware that the bill, there's a set of amendments to the original bill that I don't know if they're going to deal with your specific concern, but have you had a chance to see those amendments?
I have, no, not been apprised of any amendments.
Okay. I expect that we're probably going to get further into the discussion on 3022. We're going to take a couple other, well, at least one other individual who hasn't had a chance to testify earlier. We're probably going to get in the work session on that a little bit later in the afternoon, so if you can stay with us or wish to rejoin us as we review the amendments, feel free to comment further at that time if you wish.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Mr. Neal? If not, thank you very much. Bob Castagna?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Bob Castagna, representing the Oregon Catholic Conference. Mr. Chair, from the surface of the language on House Bill 3022, it was not clear to us as to what programs might be affected by the language. I have, since reading the bill, spoken to the prime sponsor, Representative Faubusch, as well as to Kathleen Buffet and Legislative Counsel's office, and it is my understanding from those conversations that certain programs that we had a concern about would not be affected. And I would just like to have the committee confirm for me, if you possibly can, that the programs that I am concerned about are not affected by this language. My concern was on page 2, the definition of fund or funds on lines 1 and 2 of page 2, and also on lines 8 through 11, the definition of for the benefit of religion. And the programs that I would be concerned about, I would like to give the committee some examples. Both public and private schools are in receipt of funds from the Elementary and Secondary Education Act program of the federal government, which funds are distributed by local school districts to both public and private institutions. I gave that example to Representative Faubusch and to Kathleen Buffet, and both of them said that type of program would not be affected. I mentioned to Representative Faubusch the purchase of educational services through independent colleges funds, the PSIC funds that come through the State Department of Higher Ed to independent colleges and universities. And he indicated to me that those types of funds were not to be affected by this program. Representative Faubusch's comment to me was it has to be spending by a governmental entity. It has to be a governmental entity which is in receipt of those funds. That is at least my understanding now, which was not clear to me from the surface of the bill, that those programs were not intended to be affected. I know in subsection 3 on page 2 it says a governmental act is not for the benefit of religion if it affects religious and non-religious institutions on the same terms. Is not taken solely for the purpose of assisting a religious organization. It was not clear to me from the reading what on the same terms meant. To leave us at ease, I would like to ask the committee if that is your understanding as well of this bill and the types of programs that it intends to affect.
Well, I can only speak for myself. I think the committee probably in consideration of the amendments, and when we have a chance to speak with Representative Faubusch, assuming as you indicated to us that that is his intention, if the committee is ready to move favorably on the bill or any amendments, and he has asked us to endorse that either in specific language or as part of the intent and history of the committee when it acts, I think that certainly, if acceptable to you, would probably be the way that we would proceed.
You know, the other general category for which I cannot give you a specific program, would be charitable organizations which might be associated with religious denominations, which agencies are in receipt of contractual funds through either the state or the federal government to render program services. For example, St. Mary's Home for Boys in Beaverton is in receipt of state funds to render assistance to troubled youth. From speaking to Representative Faubush, it was my conclusion that that type of program was not intended to be affected by this language, that since St. Mary's Home for Boys is not a governmental entity, that type program was not intended to be affected. That is what I take from both my conversation with Representative Faubush as well as with Kathleen Buffet, that these types of programs which I've indicated are not intended to be affected by the bill.
Okay. I don't know if you want to have amendments drafted or thought to have amendments drafted that might speak specifically to that. But maybe that issue, Council would know better than I, may be addressed in part by the amendments. But if not, feel free to suggest, if you think it's appropriate, additional language, or if you feel a statement of intent by the sponsor and the committee when it acts would be sufficient, we'll leave that to your discretion.
I spoke to Kathleen Buffet. She thought an amendment was not necessary, but really, I think it's maybe a policy question for the committee.
Okay, well, if you want to work on some language in the event that that would be appropriate, I think it would be to your advantage to have that ready in written form so that we can consider it rather than try to deal with something that's not been prepared and put to paper. Are there any questions, Mr. Castagna, Representative Miller?
I'm just going to comment that I don't think you ought to rely on what we may tell you the intent or not. That's probably one of the errors of this bill, is that it's going to sweep in a lot of folks that I'm sure that isn't the intention of the drafters. And you probably have to live with the consequences if we adopted this measure.
Would then a type of amendment which speaks to the necessity of the spending of those funds directly by a governmental entity be something that the committee would like to see? I'm at a loss because of the broad sweeping nature of the types of programs sought to be protected to know the drift of an amendment that you might find acceptable.
Well, again, I can't speak for the committee. I think since at least one representative has indicated that it probably would be to your advantage to propose some specific language, then I think that would be the appropriate thing to do. And I don't know if you're going to be able to have that ready for us by later in the afternoon or not, when the other amendments are going to be presented, but we'd certainly allow you whatever reasonable time is necessary to put something to paper for our consideration.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Any further questions for Mr. Castagna? If not, thank you. Okay, Mr. Rexstrom, I know you've listed yourself as a witness. I'd prefer to defer the work session and your comments, if that's appropriate, to a little bit later time. I'd like at this time to go ahead and begin our work session on Senate Bill 414. I know that we've got a list of folks who testified at the first hearing on this last week, and Senator Riles, I know, is on call, though she's got three different places where she's supposed to be at various times during the afternoon. And I know that she and other interested parties have expressed a desire to participate in our discussion. I think I'm going to call Ms. Burton of the ACLU to come up first and to share with us some information which we asked her to prepare, just kind of an outline of the issues that were that are presented in the bill that we have, and also the position of the ACLU on those issues. And I think this, if you will, is kind of a real brief synopsis or summary of the written testimony that was presented earlier, and I would like to, after we have a chance to review this and perhaps pose questions to Ms. Burton about it, then allow everyone who wants to testify as to some of the specifics to feel free to come up and, as we work through them, respond to questions or make comments as members have a chance to consider the several issues. Okay, Council, do you have some information for the committee?
Yes, I just want to point out, committee, you do have a Hand and Gross bill with the ACLU amendments available to you today. It's marked June 6th with ACLU in the corner. This was prepared by Legislative Council at the request of the committee. As Ms. Burton advised me earlier, there are two propositions that are not in that in these amendments. Everything else but two ideas have been included in the Hand and Gross bill, and Ms. Burton can advise the committee as to what else should be added.
Okay. Ms. Burton?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, to the table that stated 6685, there's no new information or argument in it. I simply attempted to isolate the issues and to state in one column present law, next to that what Senate Bill 414 would provide, and next to that what ACLU would propose, and simply went on through the issues. I think they're self-explanatory. The references in each of those little blocks are, under present law, simply the references are to ORS. Under Senate Bill 414, the references are to the bill itself, and under the ACLU proposals, the references are to my testimony of May 30th. I'd be happy to answer any questions, but I don't want to repeat basically what the committee has already heard from that.
Okay.
With respect to the amendments prepared by Legislative Council, they generally include the proposals that we put forward last week with three exceptions. With respect to the basic question that is the thrust of the bill of lowering the age of remand, our first position had been keep it where it is, and our second position had been if the committee feels it wants to make some motion, then to consider dropping only to 15 rather than 14 and limiting the offenses to murder. These amendments take that second route, that is, they do not keep the age at 16. They drop it, though, to 15 rather than 14, and only for murder rather than the other offenses. So it is, I suppose, our modification on that basic issue that's included here. And then two issues that we had testified to, or I did, were not included in these amendments. One, the issue of who may move for remand. As I mentioned last time, you may recall, as I understand it, under present laws, it is at least possible for the judge to make that motion and to then preside at the hearing on it. And we initially proposed that the child or the district attorney be the person and the only persons who might move that. And then secondly, at the very end of my testimony, I simply called the committee's attention to the fact that 414 amends a provision in Chapter 419, it's .575 sub 2, dealing with kids in jails, that has been declared unconstitutional and is the subject of another bill that's passed the House and is currently pending in the Senate. And I had suggested that this bill be amended to be consistent with 2046, excuse me, and that case, and that amendment was not included either. And I'd be happy to answer any questions, but I'd rather not take more of your time at this point.
Okay. I want to allow members just a few moments to look at this little matrix we developed here, and thank you for your work on that. I'm sure there are sufficient extra copies in case anybody didn't get one. Let me ask, are there any questions from members of the committee as it relates to the matrix and the comparison of present law of the bill as it came to us and the ACLU proposals? Okay, if not, Ms. Burton, I understand you'll be available for a while in case questions do arise during our discussion. Thank you. Senator Riles, did you wish to come up and speak to us at this time, or do you want to be joined by some other folks?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Nancy Riles, State Senate, Senate District 3, for the record. I appreciate you. Want to thank the committee for the long time it gave Senate Bill 414 last week. I appreciate that and the ability for most everyone that we had here to talk to you, not all of you all at once, at least some of you some of the time, because I know you're doing the same thing I'm doing, trying to be in three places at the same time. And secondly, for scheduling the work session so soon, I appreciate that. I have sent memos to you kind of reviewing what had taken place since we last appeared before you, that Claudia Burton and myself got together, went over their list of amendments to the bill and talked about those amendments. Thought we had a tentative agreement on a couple of them and then found out we did not, that their group could not support what we thought was a compromise, what they and she and I gotten together and thought might be a possible compromise, and said no, and so now we're here before you again today. What I would like to point out to you is we've done a real short packet for you. You should have in front of you right now this document.
Back here. And we then will go in and on a, not a stipulated remand, but an uncontested situation, there'll be a remand done. Now, I think many of those individuals, when they get into the adult system, will get probation.
Follow up.
Rope St. Phillips.
You mentioned the great programs, the vocational education and counseling and other types of things. Can you give me some specific examples of kids that were remanded to adult court, tried in adult court, that then did receive that sort of voc ed and, you know, or training out of Multnomah County, or does Multnomah County have that type of?
I'm not as familiar with what's available locally as I am with what's available at OSCI. And I can't answer your question in terms of local programs. But there are some counseling, some drug treatment programs that are available through the adult system.
So let me make this absolutely clear. When you were answering Representative Peterson's question, the voc ed and some of that counseling, you were referring to what actually occurred at OSCI?
No, I think what I indicated was that there may be, and I think that this is even more of a possibility in perhaps rural counties, there could be programs available through the adult system. They're not available through the juvenile system. And I think that happens, that you may have, it certainly was true in Multnomah County, for example, 3 or 4 years ago, we had virtually no drug treatment or alcohol treatment programs available for juveniles, no sex offender treatment programs. Some of those have started up, but several years ago, we didn't have them available for juveniles, and they were available locally through the adult system.
And those that are available now to juveniles can only avail themselves as long as they get remanded to adult court?
Now we have programs that are available to juveniles.
Irregardless to whether they get remanded to.
Yeah, even if they're not remanded. Actually, we have a sex offender treatment program that's only available to juveniles. It's a specific program for juvenile offenders. But I'm just assuming that that same situation may exist in other counties, that there are some programs that exist through the adult system that are not available in the juvenile system.
Maybe you could help me on this one, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Rep. St. Phillips.
If we can take the rough figure of maybe 30 or 35 out of Multnomah County, do these figures, what region of the state remands the most amount of juveniles to adults? Apparently Jackson County has a pretty high remand number. From the top of my mind, I can't pull it out, but is the Willamette Valley or Eastern Oregon proportionally higher, or is that a breakdown or a consideration?
If you could pull the highest total there. It depends on, you know, my study again is on Part 1 serious felony crimes. There, the rate is very high for Marion County, very, very high.
Mr. Chair, Representative Phillips, that is attached to my testimony of last week, is on the back of that is the list that shows the rate of remand per 10,000 population. That's table 3, and takes all 36 counties and shows you the
Maybe I can interrupt, though. This is, I was looking for something a little more up to date than 78, but that, we have to rely on that being fairly consistent because there hasn't been a major swing in the juvenile population.
Part of what I asked Senator Riles to read into her testimony is the my letter I wrote about trying to get these answers. Very, very difficult. We don't accumulate that data. I think that's a terrible situation in the state to have. We're not talking about a great many people either.
Representative Phillips, if I may, one thing that I think I should call to your attention, and it's partially in response to the testimony of Claudia Burton, the written testimony. They indicate in there that the there's been a decrease in the number of arrests in Part 1 felonies from 1975 to 1984. My understanding, and Jim perhaps can follow up on it, but certainly in Multnomah County, in the last 2 years, we've been seeing dramatic increases in the most serious and violent felonies. And I don't know if that's true statewide, but that obviously could impact.
Maybe I can tell you where I was heading. Since 78, there's been a rather dramatic increase in population in Washington County, as I'm sure the senator would recognize. And it would seem to me that as a result of that, the types, the potential at least for more violent juveniles in Washington County has increased just by the number of volumes of people. And I was trying to figure if that had, if there was a reflection as to the number of remands that we were having to come out of Washington County courts, and just trying to get those numbers. And those 78 numbers were a little difficult to extrapolate that from because they don't reflect the population growth.
Well, Mr. Chair, those are all very good questions, and again, we'd love to be able to answer them. We thought they would be easy. We even tried phoning each county and asking the sentiment, and I think of all the counties we called, only four said, number one, we have any chance of retrieving that kind of information, and number two, we can't do it unless we can. We go hand by hand through the records. So again, I guess what I want to say is I think your questions are all straight on and they're right on. The ability, though, of us not to be able to answer them is not because we haven't tried, it's because the figures aren't kept. And then the second point I would make is our bill doesn't deal with that. It doesn't deal with the 16 and the 17-year-old. It deals with the 14 and the 15-year-old. And then when you try to get information about 14 and 15-year-olds to see who you're going to deal with, there's even less information. So, I mean, you're right on, you're direct on. Again, that's a whole area of study that needs to be done in this state. I think you're beginning to wade into the morass that you get into with bills like this.
Yeah, I think we have some more questions, obviously, but I had forgotten to announce that the minority leader had announced on the floor today he was going to ask all members to report at 2:45 for a caucus, and I know Representative Miller had to leave for that. I don't want to hold any other members. So I'm going to take our recess early. We are, all members, please report to the floor at 3 p.m. per the speaker's directions. We will try to get excused, if at all possible, to come back and to try to continue through some of the questions on this bill. I don't know. One of the reasons also, I want to make sure we have as many members here as possible so we're not losing time, so we can just cover this material once. As I think I might have indicated, Senator, I can't guarantee that we're necessarily going to conclude our work session on this bill today. We'd already made a commitment on a couple other bills, 3022, and for which there are people here who we expect to get to later in the afternoon, and it's impossible to know how much time we're going to be able to spend up here from the floor session. So we will come back and try to continue to work through at least the questions that we have as they relate to some of the issues here, but we won't be able to devote the rest of the afternoon entirely to this bill. So I hope that's sufficient guidance to you, and I know the many people who are here on this issue.
Yeah, I guess I am, thank you. I am concerned about how often we should keep bringing 5 and 6
right.
and 7 people back.
Right.
I'm concerned about two things. Narrowing the discussion to the issues of the bill, and then number two, the kind of expertise you want to have here to respond to the issues that are in the bill. Can you help me out with that?
Well, I think certainly if Keith and Mr. Huser can be available throughout the afternoon, I don't want to hold everyone here, and I know.
Well, they're already here, so today is, you know, one thing, but to keep asking them to drive down from Portland and everything else, it would be nice if we could, you know, get the committee to come to some decision if they feel they have enough information.
Representative Phillips?
I know the difficulty you're facing with Ways and Means, our caucus, and other committees going back. Knowing Representative Hill and Representative Miller's schedule, doubt whether we're going to have a full committee for a vote today anyway, as much as I'd like to take one. So, I mean, we've got some real practical problems that I know you want us to move on the bill, but we can't do it without a full... I don't believe we should try and make a move.
I'm not pushing that as much as I'm just saying, you know, who do we need to have here when you do it the next time? You want the full contingency? If we can narrow what it is you want information about or decide on, we don't need to bring everybody all down. Right.
No, I certainly don't want to do that. I know Keith's got a lot of responsibilities up in Portland. Jim, of course, does too. I would hope that, we will try to return, assuming we can't conclude work session on this today,
right,
we will try to return to it Monday, perhaps, Council. Is that a possibility?
Maybe you want to just move to Monday now, not try to fit it in now. If you're not going to have a quorum here today, wait and do it Monday, and we'll have everybody come back Monday.
Well, I'll leave that to Jim and Keith, and I think if there are some of your other folks who wanted to testify or respond to some of the issues or the issues raised by ACLU today, I'd be glad to allow that, but I don't think I can guarantee to you or to them that it won't be necessary to come back, at least for Keith and Jim, perhaps, to come back.
Well, that's what I was trying to get at. I think that's what we ought to do. I think Jim, you can come back as he's here. Keith, can you come back on Monday?
I think so.
Okay.
Then you need to ask the rest of them if there's someone else that really wants to.
Is there anyone else who, this afternoon when we come back, would like to testify or add some additional comments on the issues that have been raised in 414?
Well, there's Chalmer Jones from the Board of Parole. Where did Captain Chalmer?
Well, he just stepped out.
He's here that might want to respond to some of the matrix questions that really, well, not the matrix in this matrix, but the matrix that was raised in the ACLU testimony. I think he kind of did that last time. I'm having a difficulty judging where you are to know what it is you want to know.
Mm-hmm.
We've got everybody here, I think, that can answer your questions, but if I don't know what the questions are, Chalmer would be somebody that might want to respond to some of that.
He's here locally, so it's less of an inconvenience for him, I think, to come back.
Though
I know he's very busy.
Larry Moylett, Larry, was there something you wanted to add? Who's here from the Governor's Task Force mm-hmm. Against Violent Crime?
I think I might be able to answer Representative Phillips' questions. If we can have it Monday, I can come up with the statistics as the number of remands.
Great, Larry.
I think Washington County might represent the state as a whole because it is a growing population.
Okay, Larry, if it wouldn't be inconvenient for you to come back on Monday, we would, believe me, make every opportunity available for you to share that information with us at that time.
Okay. Good.
Is there anyone else who, for whom coming back, I'm not insisting that all who may have wanted to appear today come back on Monday, but if you wish to come back on Monday, or if your schedule precludes you from doing that, if you want to comment when we come back, assuming hopefully we're going to be able to come back from our recess and return to this subject, if necessary, to take comments today. Anyone out there who needs to talk today? Okay, if not, Senator, I think we may, among ourselves, continue some discussion of questions, but I don't think it's necessary for your people to continue to wait here
around
this afternoon, again, because we have some other commitments,
sure,
and because it's impossible to know how much time we're going to be able to spend up here.
I appreciate you being so sensitive. The same thing's happening on the other side. That's why there's no need for them to stay. There's no need to stay.
Okay.
And we'll just plan to be here, at 1:30 on Monday?
Council, we have a couple other bills up. If it would be easier for us to set a time certain later in the afternoon for your people to say, we shall dedicate 3 to 5 or 3 to 4 or 4 to 5 or whatever it's going to take. I'll let you, Senator, and your witnesses maybe discuss that with counsel. I'm ready to do whatever would be easiest. If you want us to, if it would be easier to say 1:30 to 3, assuming we don't get interrupted by floor session and delay public testimony on the other bills that are up until 3, we could do that too.
You feel you need another hour and a half of testimony?
Well, just in terms of not testimony necessarily, but a chance for the committee to discuss and raise questions. We've kind of gotten into it. I think we've made a real good start on it, but I can't speak for the other members in terms of what questions they might have.
Well, we'll certainly be here at your disposal.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there any other business at this point to come before the subcommittee? If not, we're going to be in recess until we're excused from the floor session, which begins at 3 p.m.
The committee never reconvened.